Look at this. What an edit, by the way. Was this you?
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
Ben Foster made this. Yes. Hi guys, I'm Ben Foster. Welcome to another episode of the Fozcast. Today, we have got a couple of YouTube legends. We have got Thogden.
How we doing?
And we've got Thogdad.
Hey, it's great to be here, Ben.
Honestly,
absolutely
guys.
Absolutely brilliant.
Aren't we? We are buzzing to have these guys here today.
Big fans.
Absolutely big fans. Massive fans. Before we start, okay, can you just show your shirt into that camera over there, please, Thogden?
You need to see it. You need to
just
see
have
it.
A look at this shirt.
It's Thogdad beer. He's got Bolton on there. Thogdad. No son of mine drinks a Coke.
It's world class. Right, I've got a surprise for you guys. Have a look at this, okay? Oh. So, I've been wearing this jumper for about the last half an hour and I'm sweating my nuts off.
No way.
What a hero.
Oh, that's your camera thing, isn't it?
Oh, brilliant.
That's brilliant.
Football was
that was
saved.
The first one.
Football was saved.
Yeah.
What a legend, give me that.
You know the story behind that.
Come on, tell us.
Well,
this
no, it's
what
just that.
About.
It's the protest that went on at Stamford Bridge against the ESL. And I just got up there. And can we swear in here?
For sure we can.
And they started screaming, come Thogdad, give us a song. And I just went, fuck the ESL. And it just got everyone going. And the moment football was saved, people talk about me as the guy who saved football. I'm the everyman. Everyone who went out there and protested against the ESL, that's who saved football.
So this was the one, this is one that Peter Cech, came out and he was trying to calm the fans down and all that kind of stuff. Do you remember, how weird a period was that, by the way, when they were trying to do this European?
Like, what do you think? What were the footballers thinking?
Oh, it was outrageous. We were hating it.
What was the WhatsApp group chat saying then?
So, no, we were away game. Who did we have? I think we had someone like Norwich or something the next day. And when they announced it was the morning that we were travelling and everybody was talking about it as if to say, nah, no chance. This won't happen. And then it actually came out that they were going to be doing it. Like, it was outrageous. I remember watching Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher on the telly at night, weren't they? And when they were speaking about it.
Yeah.
And
Gary
Neville, to be fair, was just, wow, what a guy. Like, he was incredible, wasn't he? Yeah. He was absolutely spot on. But we genuinely could not believe that they were going to try and do it. It would just ruin the very fabric of English football. It would completely mess up the pyramid and it wouldn't be like we know what it is right now, would it?
Absolutely. I was amazed by how Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, the manager of Man United, had no idea this was happening. He was asked about it in an interview and the Glazers obviously just hadn't had the decency to discuss it with their manager. And for me, this all showed the disconnect between the money men, the billionaire owners, and the fans and the players and the people like us who just love football. And I couldn't believe it, but I was delighted to be on the picket lines there. That's where he's singing. And the great thing was, we were there at Stamford Road when the announcement came through, club by club, that it would fallen apart.
Yeah, it all fallen
and I've
apart.
Never seen such joy. It was like Bolton winning the league, honestly.
Yeah,
it was brilliant. The joy was incredible.
Thankfully, it kind of collapsed as quickly as it sort of happened. And they all kind of went away like dogs with their tails between their legs. It was like, but it was good to see that like people power actually matters and we can vote with our feet. Do you know what I mean? We went out to the street. You guys literally went out there and voted with your feet and it makes a difference. People see it, like the owners of these see the fans revolting. It did its job, didn't it?
Absolutely. You've got to speak up. I mean, we just love football, any football. I mean, obviously we're Bolton fans, but you know, we'll go along and watch Dulwich Hamlet or whoever. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? And you played non-league back in the day, didn't you?
So for sure, yeah.
You know what it's like, don't you? You know what
Shout
it's all
out
about.
Racing Club Warwick, by the way.
Yeah, Racing Club Warwick.
You played at Racing Club Warwick in the Dr. Martin's Western League we were at the time. We weren't even in the Dr. Martin's Premier League. We're in the Dr. Martin's Western League. We spoke about it yesterday, actually. We did another podcast. £30 a week I was on when I first started.
Brilliant.
I didn't care though. I was 17 years old getting paid £30 a week. It was incredible.
Yeah, even back then, like that money was awesome.
It was massive. It paid for my Saturday night out. That's all it did. It paid for my Saturday night out. So guys, right. So in case for the viewers at home, for the listeners at home, for the people that don't know who Thogden and Thogdad are,
shame on you.
Absolute shame on you. What have you been doing? What rock have you been living under? Come on. So basically, guys, tell us what it is that you do.
We are football content creators. You know, obviously we cover content, Premier League, World Cup, Euros, whatever big competition's going on. We're both Bolton fans. We're originally from near Bolton. We now live in London. Yeah, we just cover everything football and we love it. And the channel's called Thogden. And yeah, we're mainly on YouTube, as you guys are.
Reviews, reactions, live streams.
Everything,
Everything and everything
watch-alongs.
Football. Brilliant.
Yeah, we love it.
So the first question, which this is obviously a new series, new podcast, so this is the question we are asking every single guest, is top three people dead or alive. You don't take into consideration any hardship
or
drinking
what
problems,
might have come up on, or
right?
what yeah. they might have
Top
done in their life.
Top three people, night out. Who are you going with?
Wow, that is a good one. Well, I'll start off with one and then you think of one, Theo. My first one, and this is football related, I'm going with Frank Worthington.
Ah,
and that goes
nice.
Back to the 70s. So I was brought up really in the 70s on the terraces of Burndon Park. And one of my first heroes was Frank Worthington, who I think he played once or twice for England, should have played more. But he was just a crowd pleaser. He was an entertainer. He was a well, he was a pisshead, you know.
There and, we go. Now
that's what we
it.
Want.
And
yeah.
I've, you know, I've read his biography, and he's just, you smile at his autobiography, yeah. and you just think, as well as being an amazing footballer, you'd have a great night out with him. So that's my first one, Theo.
Gary Cahill.
you are going to have to explain this one. Gaz, I love Gaz Cahill, by the way. I saw him in Portugal a few weeks ago. He's the loveliest man in
yeah,
the world.
Absolute loveliest man. He's a top lad, and he's a Bolton legend, and he went on to win yeah. a Champions League. I mean,
True
he was
that.
At the back with Ivanovic winning a Champions League, left Bolton. I'd love to hear about his stories. And he also seems like a top yeah. lad.
He is. He's
loves,
lovely,
loves
mate.
To, you know...
Do you know what? I actually don't even know if Gaz drinks or not, to be honest with you, because he
really?
Is like the he is
yeah.
honestly the most consummate professional you've
really?
Ever seen in your life. He is outrageously professional.
I did not think
like,
that.
I remember like back in the day where we used to play for England, he'd be in the squad and stuff like that. He'd take his top off, and I would literally just be looking at him going, "That's incredible! Like that's that is incredible! Shredded! I mean, yeah. absolutely shredded to bits." Yeah. So I don't know if he's going to be able to actually go out and get on the lash with you, but I like your thinking at
yeah.
least.
Yeah.
That's a complete
got some stories.
That is some sort of a left field yeah. suggestion though. Like. Everybody, some of the ones we've had, like Big Frank, the editor next to us here, Big Frank chose Russell Brand. And
yeah,
for me, it would be incredible. Like, I don't know if you know, you'd know where you are or where you're going to
yeah.
wake up or what you've done the night before, but it would be a good ride at least, wouldn't it?
It
yeah.
would. I'd end up scrapping him, I think. Yeah. my second one, I'm going to go totally left field. Away from sport, I'm going with Lawrence of Arabia, T.E. Lawrence. I know. And he was just a hero of mine. When you actually read about what he did, he was a war hero and an academic and a thinker. And... You go and see the film Lawrence of Arabia,
world
and
of,
that
yeah.
is good. And then he wrote this book, Seven Pillars of Wisdom. I'm going a bit academic here.
It's nice,
but this
we need
guy
that sometimes.
Was
yeah.
an incredible, incredible person and played an important part during the First World War.
My yeah. second choice is you.
I love this. What a guy.
Because I want to hear about your stories, and I want to hear about that today.
For
you've
sure.
gone, you've played football with Ronaldo, and now you're in smashing the YouTube world.
Well,
you're the first to do that. That's the coolest thing. I'd
even
love
though,
to hear about
even
that.
Though it's my podcast, you have any questions? Just feel free, dig in anywhere along the timeline and just ask any questions you want,
yeah.
whether it's me, Tom Rhino Fuck Legs, him. Or big old Frankie Boy next to you,
yeah.
okay?
I'll give you a story, which he won't tell you.
Are you allowed to tell
That's all we
story?
Love.
We might need to cut this one out. Well, let's
oh,
see.
God's sake.
So we always go on the lash to Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Cheltenham
yeah.
races
yeah, yeah, yeah.
every year. We went for like years and years and years, and it was like a bit of a lucky breeding ground for us. We'd win a few quid. And the one time we've probably been on it like all day, and then we go to this bar. And normally we'll get to a point, Ben's pretty professional himself, so we'll get to a point and they'll go, right, I've kind of had enough, I'll get on the lemonades, bit of ice, the people think it's vodka lemonade.
Yeah.
But the one time, must have just been a bit giddy, won a few on the horses, he's walked out, wasn't very well, shall we say. And some bloke, do you remember this?
Yeah.
Some bloke said, and I'll never forget it because it made you feel like crap, and he said, some bloke walked past him and said, you wouldn't see Robin Van Persie doing that.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, that is super.
I would have pretty much bent over being sick in a bush though, outside the pub, to be fair. And I don't think you would have seen Robin Van Persie doing that. But, you know, each to their own. You know, I was having a nice time. It was
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Exactly what it's
time.
About, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've all done it.
That is what it's all
it.
About.
And
yeah.
final one. I'm going to go academic again. I'm going back hundreds of years. Leonardo da Vinci. All right. You'll probably know he painted the Mona Lisa. Painter. Amazing painter. But he was also, he basically invented the helicopter. Hundreds of years before it became a helicopter. He was just a scientist, a poet, a writer, a thinker, just one of the brains of all time. And I admire people who go from one thing to another. And we were talking earlier about how you're transitioning from a footballer to a YouTuber. You know, I've gone from a businessman to a YouTuber. It's quite hard, isn't it, to go from one thing to another. And Da Vinci was someone who just did the lot.
Absolutely.
Hundreds of years ago.
Anyone else? You got two? Two's fine. Honestly, you've given us one more than what Spencer and Seb gave us yesterday in their podcast, honestly. So yeah, you're doing well. Fogdad's absolutely rescued it there, to be fair, getting three.
I've got a few options. I think you'd have to get a pundit in there, because I'd love to speak to a pundit in person.
Roy Keane. What about Roy Keane?
Oh, I think Roy Keane should have been one of your options, because I'm thinking more Gary Neville. I just think it'd be funny to see what he thinks, have a conversation with him.
But Theo, you met Gary Neville. Tell that story.
Well, that's the thing. I'd bring up that conversation.
Go on, tell us.
Well, Gary Neville, I was at Chelsea game once, and he had to get from one place at the stadium to another in time for the shoot time. It was at full time, so they had to get to his... He was about to go live. He had to run around the stadium. Anyway, he was taking a few photos. I asked him, I put the camera in his face. I was like, oh, give us one word for that performance. United had just beaten Chelsea 2-0 away from home. Bruno and Maguire... And it was Bruno's first game. He must have been delighted, I was thinking. He'd just say, brilliant or something, move on. He said, no, sorry, can't do this. If you want a photo, we'll have it. I was like...
Well, he's like, we're not doing this. Not doing that. Not doing that. As if Theo had ambushed him. He's asking for one word.
Yeah.
And he responded with Gazza. 20 words.
I know, it's shocking. Oh, I know. So I want to get him for a few drinks and ask him why he's done that.
Take him down the alley.
It's not hard, is it?
Yeah. It's just like... I've watched so much of him, as because I love watching, you know, Sky Sports and stuff. I love keeping up with the football, especially over everything that's gone over the last few months. So when I had the chance to maybe have one word from him, it didn't happen.
Just like your 5 minutes of fame, but, you know, with guys, like that one little moment kind of thing.
Yeah, but he was on the move. He had to go live for it pretty quick, so he just wanted to get photos and get out of the way. But it's still a shame.
It is a shame.
Never meet your heroes.
I'd say Kevin Davis. Kevin Davis.
Yeah. This is world class. I was going to mention Kevin Davis later, actually, but go on, tell me about Kevin Davis.
He's just a Bolton legend. I could have so many comments. I mean, we went out to Madrid away when Bolton were playing in Europe, Atletico Madrid. We beat them. He was up top for us.
Yeah.
He was playing. He's seen teams with amazing Bolton teams go away in Europe and see us go down the leagues. He's always a Bolton legend. You know, I'd ask him so many questions about everything, really.
Kevin Davis is one of these that strikes me as, you know, that one person when you go out or something and it's like there's no warning for it. And I imagine Kevin Davis would be someone upsets him and then it's just good night. It comes out.
Kevin Davis
chucking the elbows around. Like, yeah. I bet he was an absolute animal.
100%.
He's a nice guy, him, you know. He was in the England squad for a while. And honestly, what a lovely, lovely bloke. Like,
he played one cap, didn't he?
One cap he got, but he was, honestly, as a bloke, though, top class, honestly. Absolutely top class.
Yeah. It's funny that his one cap, I was in Istanbul that day and I had to watch the game and I found this massive pub that was showing the England game. And I went in there, and there's one bloke in there, an English lad, and I sort of shook his hand and said, oh, I'm Steve, and I've come to watch Kevin Davis. Yeah. And he's like, I'm Frank, I've come here for exactly the same thing. A lad from Bolton. And we watched his one appearance.
Small world,
but Kevin Davis, an absolute Bolton legend, the most fouled and the most fouling player in the Premiership. He never lost any challenges in the air.
I mean, like I said, I was going to mention Kevin Davis later anyway, because I've got a bit of a funny story about him and Bolton in general, but it's a golden one. Quickly though, because that was Tom's like question choice, and I love that question choice. It's absolutely world class. My one was always like, what is your favourite film? Because we spoke about this yesterday, and he's always says to me, don't ask this question, because what if they come back with a question with an answer like Gladiator or something that's really sad? Do you know what I mean? Where'd you go from there? Do you know what I mean? Sort of thing.
Yeah. What's your favourite movie of all time?
My favourite movie is The Godfather.
There you
part
go.
Part one.
Perfect.
And just a brilliant gangster film in it. Theo, come on.
Wolf of Wall Street.
See, there you go. When you get an answer like that, Wolf of Wall Street, for example.
The only thing is with that, it's so long. I've seen the first hour about 20 times.
Yeah, that's so true.
Halfway through.
Yeah.
But he goes around the apartment just quoting that film non-stop, don't you?
I love it. No, you can watch it every time it feels like the first. And that's kind of good film.
Wowee. Okay, right, let's take it way back. Let's take it way, way back to the very, very start of the channel when you very first started getting into this whole kind of YouTube world, actually putting your videos out there. How old were you at the time when you first started doing it?
10, 11. 11?
Wow.
Do you know,
I was 12.
I think you were 12 or 13 you first started the channel, and he came out into the corridor and he's like, Dad, I've just set up a YouTube channel.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, what's that? Because I watched YouTube, but I had no idea this concept that people created. That might sound like a stupid idea, because back in the day, you turn on the BBC, the ITV, and that's what I was used to. So I had to ask Theo, what do you mean? What? I'm a creator.
Yeah.
So 7 years ago.
At the start, you barely understood it. And I only knew it because I grew up watching it. And that's the benefit. That's the reason I started the channel. I loved it. And I was quite lucky to go to a school at the time where like people just actually supported me. My mates supported me with my channel. It was like the first time I had an audience. It was built up from friends and family that supported me. And then I started to gain a bit of an audience from YouTube. But it's very hard to break that first barrier.
For sure.
I was just very lucky to start in an age where it wasn't a completely saturated market. Now it's ridiculous.
But when you first, we were looking at obviously your videos and whatnot, like your very first few videos, it does take a certain ability to stand with a camera on your own.
It does,
and just bash out a bit of content, because at that age, you clearly knew you were good. Mm. You kind of, it was quite easy to watch even back then. I know you've done reaction videos to like your first ever video.
Yeah,
but they are wicked. We were watching something like last night, and like, I've always watched your videos anyway, so I've always stumbled across them. But like the fresh face, like Baby Thugden, I love it. It's so good, isn't it?
That just shows I've just been through my whole life with YouTube.
But you as a like a 12, 13 year old, 14 year old lad making content, because I've seen some of like your Q&As and stuff, we were talking about this morning. And some people are quite pokey and some quite nasty comments and stuff, which you'd expect.
Yeah.
But at 13 and 14, you have to develop a pretty thick skin because you must have put you off.
100%. That trains you up. I think the reason I'm so good at handling it now, if something, you know, if you get some hate or you know, it goes both ways, doesn't it, with YouTube? You can get love, you can get hate. But I have built up a thick skin from years and years of people trying to find little things to try and pull you down, because that's just nature of how it is on social media. So
I mean, I actually think, so we moved down from Manchester. Theo was born in North Yorkshire, brought up in Manchester, Altrincham. And I think if we'd stayed there, and if Theo had gone to a state school in Manchester or Bolton, I think you would have been bullied out of doing a YouTube channel.
Yeah,
I know it's a terrible thing to say. We moved to London, went to a different sort of school, and luckily the kids around him, the teachers around him, were encouraging.
Yeah, brilliant.
I've met youngsters who started channels and just admit to me, yeah, I started to do it, but I was bullied out of it. And I think that's one of the saddest things.
Yeah, it happens loads, even now. It's just, it depends on the people around you. I was very lucky to be, and I'm still with the same group of friends that I made in school. And that's just a good sign. They've always supported me from the get-go. Like, they literally, there was a time I hadn't posted in 4 months. And they were like, oh, get your act together, like, post again. So they pushed me to it. And they're still my closest mates today, even though I've left school and, you know, they're all at uni. Like, we all still stay in touch. And that just shows. I was very lucky. I don't think I'd be where I am today if it wasn't for our friends.
Yeah, exactly.
And Fog Dad.
I think, honestly, one of our questions was, like, what was the reaction sort of thing when you were at school in doing this? Do you know what I mean? Because that them ages as well, like 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 even, when you were at school. Tough. Do you know what I mean? And you've got a little bit of a platform and people can get at you on the internet. They can get at you in school. It's difficult. I see it every day in football. Do you know what I mean? I know that on a Saturday afternoon, regardless of how I've played or if we've won or if we drew or if we lost, somebody somewhere is going to be upset. You know what I mean? So if we just beat the team,
every
somebody is going to give me abuse and say, absolutely, you're this, that, whatever. And people say, how do you deal with that? And I know for sure that when I was younger, even in my 20s, honestly, it really used to get to me and it would affect me. Mm. But then as I got older, sort of when I think once you start having kids, you know, you get to sort of your late 20s, 30s, that kind of thing, you just think, actually, I just start to feel a bit sorry for these kind of guys.
Yeah.
If this is the only way they can get their angst out or their anger sort of thing, and this is the only thing that they can focus on, then you should probably just feel sorry for these guys. You know what I mean?
I think 99% is based on jealousy, isn't it? And it is a vocal minority, and almost never do you meet them in real life.
And when they do, they're like, oh, can you unblock me? Can you do this for me? Yeah. Do that? Yeah. They don't actually care. They just want a bit of attention when they tweet you.
Of course, that's
the truth of it.
Yeah.
When they see you, they're back to being a fan.
Yeah. It's validation. Yeah. It's just a bit of validation, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You've worked, like, obviously you've kind of come up from a young age with YouTube, but you've grafted at it, haven't you? Like, like just scrolling through all your videos, you have made a lot of videos. And
definitely,
even like now with the streams, you're banging out content every day.
Yeah, we're trying our best. We're trying our best because the one thing you can't do is slack. Like, even if you build up 600,000 subscribers, we're still thinking, I feel like I haven't maximized the Euro 22. I feel like I've messed out. Like, I feel like I messed up. I genuinely believe like that we, in the build up to the Euros, we could have done a better job. I still look at it every day today and think,
brilliant,
we've got to find a way to get better. Like I look back and think, you've got to maximize every single opportunity, because that's how we built the channel. There was never one big shout out to get us there. It was through graft and posting every day of different content, using tags, getting people to click on it. And it's going to stay the same way until we get to a million subscribers. And that's just the mentality we've got on this channel.
Yeah, it's all about hard work. Theo wakes up in the morning, we have a coffee, he's like, right, Dad, what are we doing today?
Yeah.
How are we going to push this channel forward today?
Sometimes he might not be up for it. And, you know, I can understand that with his age. But I'm trying to convince him sometimes half the day, like, oh, please, Dad, just do this video. Like, give me your
notes. Honestly, right. So you're, how old are you? 20 yeah. There. So I said earlier on in the pod that we did another podcast yesterday afternoon with Spencer and Seb, didn't we, from Hashtag. And the one thing that you could just tell is from them when they first started their channel is the work that they had to put in, the dedication, the literally daily, to one point where Spencer actually said, like, it was actually a bit of a problem. Back in the day, he says, I would push myself so hard. And he said, if I missed a day where I didn't post, it would be like the end of the world kind of thing. It's like I'd fall off. Yeah. It's like I'd fall off the end of the world kind of thing. He says, and as he's got older, he's learned how to do. But the one thing for me is, and you can just tell you guys straight away, you're just workers, you're grafters, and you enjoy doing it. And I think that when you enjoy doing it as well, it never ever fully seems like work, does it?
No, it's true.
Yeah.
That's why we love it. And you can't maintain something for 6 years if it's not
no
fun.
No chance.
Like, we love it. That's why it's fun. That's why we continue it.
Even, like, with your research side, I mean, we were talking, Hawksby and Jacobs, actually, on TalkSport, and they were like, we watch a lot of football.
We watch
a lot.
And they're like, well, it's
football.
Kind of our job, but still, we watch a lot.
And
football.
We make notes. Yeah. And I just thought, that's interesting, because you need to know. You need to know your onions, don't you, when you're talking about Russia and Croatia.
Certain players,
you need to know what you're on about.
When we do the live streams, I've got my iPad, I'll do 2 hours of research into the 22 players who will almost certainly start. And I've got that written there by the side. Theo's more, you know them all from FIFA, don't you? From playing the game.
Yeah. I know them from watching football.
But do you know what? When I watch some of the mainstream channels, I won't mention names, but there's occasionally the commentators just completely getting their facts wrong.
Oh, please mention names.
I won't.
We'll come on to YouTube beef later. Don't mention any names now.
But quite prominent people who are in the game, occasionally they just get something wrong.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a pronunciation, I'm thinking, you've not done your homework.
Yeah, I love it.
You've turned up to this. You know, you're on your BT Sport or whatever. I just made that up.
No, you didn't. I think it's a BT Sport presenter, guys. Yeah. I don't know who it is, but it's a BT Sport guy.
No, but you've got to do your homework. And the main point is, any kids listening, there's no substitute for hard graft. I mean, you know that from being football.
For sure,
if you didn't go to training X hours a day for 20, 30 years, you wouldn't be at the top of your game.
Well, when you've got, like, say, my son's 11 years old, I've got a daughter who's 12 years old, and they both want, like, my daughter, she's really good at netball, she's 12 years old, my son's really good at football, he's 11 years old, and they're watching videos of how to do this, and I'm like, but you have to get outside, you have to practice it. It's literally like, if you want to be better at maths, you practice, you revise, you work it, you do it. If you want to be better at football, you get out there and you do it. It's all about just relentlessly going for it. That's what life's about. So for now then, so for example, so when you go, so you've been doing some like Euro match day vlogs at the minute kind of thing.
Yeah.
What is, so when the Thogdons and the Thogdads go out, what's the reaction like? What is everybody like with you? If you walk into a pub, for example.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Like even if we go into a pub, not for the football, and we're just there, I'm with my mates in like Islington at a pub, we'll get recognised by a bunch of like Arsenal fans or Tottenham or whatever, and it's just great because everyone's so nice. When we go with Thogdad to football games, on the way in, like, so many people stop us. Kicked off a bit outside Wembley one of the games.
So we're waiting to get into the England-Scotland. We got our tickets and our COVID tests, and there was a bunch of England fans, Scotland fans, young lads. Suddenly they noticed Thogden and Thogdad. I got surrounded by these kids all singing "No Thogdad, No Party." And all with their cameras, they all want the selfies. But it was like, honestly, 30 or 40 at once. And suddenly I'm being pulled away. I thought,
people grabbing you.
Old Bill had grabbed me.
No.
Old Bill, and there were like three of them surrounding me. They're like, sir, can we just have a quiet word? And then they were asked, who the hell are you? But no, they because suddenly this crowd had gone mad for Thogden. You'd been pulled aside. And that's the most extreme it's ever been. And then the police just
said, was England Scotland though. That's when everyone was a bit high.
And the old Bill just said, "You better go in because it's you're actually inciting them a little bit." But no, I'll tell
a second. So Thogdad and Thogden incited a riot at the England-Scotland
game.
I'm not even kidding. We've got getting those some titles clips in now, on my Instagram. Yeah. The other story, and this is a kind of a sad but funny story in a way, you'll see it. Sadly, a friend of mine died three years ago. And he has a daughter about 13, 14, went to the funeral in Putney. And I could see, as soon as I went to the church, I thought, I've been spotted by the daughter's friends, you know. And we went to the wake, and you could see they've all got their cameras ready. And and I asked the widow, I said, look, I explained what's happening. And they said, go on, you know, Paolo, who died, would find it hilarious that you've been spotted and you've been stopped for
by
selfies.
By these teenage girls and teenage
boys and girls at the funeral. And it was like, that was the one situation where I thought, what is the protocol here? And there's no rule book. There's no rule book, is there?
So this is a good thing that I'm going to lead on to here, actually, because I think when you're like a bit of a footballer or you're a bit of a name or a bit of a celebrity or whatever you are kind of thing, having kids myself, I see the effect that if they get the chance to meet one of their idols, like a footballer, whoever it is, it's a massive thing, isn't it? It's a massive thing. Yeah. It's the sort of thing that they will remember for the rest of their lives. So my kids, when they were younger, like only two, 3 years ago sort of thing, they used to love wrestling, right? Like WWE, they would love wrestling. And there was this one time we got some tickets to, I think it was in Nottingham or something like that. We got like these really lovely like backstage passes. We got to go and meet some of the wrestlers. And honestly, these wrestlers were unbelievable. I know they're kind of like actors anyway and they're in that world, but my gosh, we went backstage, right? And they've got like this big old area, they've got like a food truck, they've got like a chill area, all that kind of stuff. They literally, nobody had to say, we've got people come in, like, you know, put the act on. They bowled over to us like quick as you like, literally whisked the kids off us. Who's your favourite wrestler? Come and meet him. And they, like the Big Show was there and he was like fist pumping them all, like getting photos.
Yeah.
They literally took the kids off us and went and did it for, it was like, we're watching that and like my son and daughter are just like, oh, this is incredible. And so I'll always say to the young kids at football, like, if you get the chance to just make their day, it takes you 10 seconds, like smile, say hello, ask a question. Who's your favourite player? Who's your favourite team? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it leaves such a lasting impression, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. And another funny one, I was in my car the other day at a red light. There's a car in front. Driver gets an Audi. Guy in his 20s gets out, walks over to my driver's side. I'm thinking, oh, this is a road rage thing going on. He's like, fist bumps me. Thog dad! That's all he says.
That's all he says.
He gets back in his Audi and he drives off.
That's the sort of thing.
At a red light.
Happens.
And you know, for me, I never thought this nonsense would ever happen to me. I'm just, you know, a middle-aged bloke who likes a beer and a game of footy, you know.
Yeah.
But it really has become big in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
We're very big in Scotland.
Really? To a point where, like, he stopped off in a small village. We're taking my daughter up to her uni, Edinburgh.
Up in Edinburgh.
And go for a small village. All the school kids stop the car, like, go get Thogdad. Everyone just loves him for some reason.
But it's amazing, though, Thogdad, because it's like... Like, I've been like stalking your LinkedIn profile, and like, I think it's fair to say you've had some pretty punchy like job roles and like board level roles in the past. And like you say, you're 53.
Yes.
53. You're now a content creator.
YouTuber.
You know, YouTuber. Theo's 20.
Hmm.
And, you know, you're in a world of teenage and 20s.
Yeah.
And, you know, Fozzie started and he's, you know, 38.
Yes.
So, like, how's that dynamic for you?
It's weird. You just have to be sort of dynamic and adaptable and pragmatic. Yeah, so back in the day, I mean, my best role, I was executive chairman of a Russian retailer with 10,000 employees, you know, so got to quite a reasonable level in business. But it wasn't something I wanted to do forever. So, obviously, the Thogdad thing is created and driven by Thogden.
Yeah. It was never going to happen unless
started
the channel.
It wasn't something I was going to go out and look for.
You never thought about that. Like, no, when you're working as a director, you thought that's what you'd be doing for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Back in the day, I've always liked writing. So that was my form. When I was 15, 16, I thought I'm going to be a writer or a journalist. So there was that seed of creativity. But to be kind of living this other form of creativity, it's brilliant.
Mm.
And you just roll with it. And like I said, there's no rule book. You just learn day in, day out how to be Thogdad.
And Thogden, are we going to see Thogmum, Thogsis, thug girlfriend at some point.
Who knows? Who knows what the future holds? I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. That's just how YouTube is.
I want to watch a watch along with Thug Mum. All right, I want to see. Yeah.
But
Thug
she's
Mum.
Useless on the camera.
No, it's gold
it's just
though.
Us two. It's yeah. just us two usually. Like when I try to get someone else in, we sometimes have our mate Ben who joins the streams. If you joined yesterday, you would have seen.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I know the guy you're on about.
He always joins the streams like because he lives in London now, so we always get him involved. But Thug Mum would be impossible to get anything out of her. Thog sis, maybe, but then she's at uni doing her own stuff.
I think people want to see that kind of stuff. The normal
you'll
person.
Start a family channel soon enough.
I don't know about a family channel,
why
but
not?
For sure, my son, I might get him involved in a few bits and bobs. Like while you're talking about the watch-alongs, we've done a two now. We've done the last two England games. By the way, the first one we did was the Scotland game. It was. Honestly, it's a miracle we were actually awake watching the game. It was hard work. But it was fine. So we've got the kids in the background, haven't we?
Everybody,
they're all running amok, having a lovely time, sort of going, Dad, this is miserable. This is miserable. I popped off to the toilet. Louis sort of bowls in, didn't he? And went, Bo, as he was doing it, was like, Louis, tell us what you think of the game. He just went, it's a bit boring, really, isn't it? But it was. But so I'm a big fan of your watch along. So me and Louis, like I said to you earlier, didn't I? Like, you know this anyway, but we always watch your watch alongs. They are world-class guys.
That is
like,
nice
the
hear.
Stuff that you do, it's just so enjoyable, honestly. It's so, and I think, but like I say, I'm so happy for my son watching it for as an 11-year-old. And that, for me, is a big thing. Somebody I know I can trust him watching them. It's absolutely brilliant.
And I think that is key because what we put out there is very positive stuff. I know I'll have a beer and occasionally there'll be a swear word, but on the whole, it's quite wholesome.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah.
And it's very, very positive. 99% of the time. And a lot of stuff that's out there, creative stuff, it's, I don't know, very negative for me. So yeah, you asked about Thog Mum. Now Thog Mum is she's a PhD in philosophy, and a couple of days ago we got back from the England game, Czech Republic at Wembley. We walk in with smiles on our faces, and Thog Mum's like, "Why are you smiling? You've just lost 3-1 to Croatia." And she thought, and this is where she thought we'd been to the Scotland game to support Scotland. So Thog Mum will never. She's got no interest in football.
Yeah, never.
The vlogs. Thog Sis is a very interesting one. She's at Edinburgh University. She hates to be referred to as Thog Sis.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I'm an independent woman. I'm going to do my own thing.
Yeah.
So sadly, I think the whole family thing. I mean, there's a few Thog uncles who love being in it.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, your brother, massive Leeds fan, we always go to Bolton games with him. Like, he loves it. Just the day out, you know, with my cousin as well. So, like, yeah, we do that sort of stuff. We get family involved. But I think going forward, we're just going to look for other people.
Yeah,
just other YouTubers, just to like for collaborate sure. with like you guys, you know.
But on the subject of family, I mean, I think a lot of people like our YouTube stuff for the family dynamic. Yeah. They love the father and son thing because I think that's fairly unique. There aren't really other YouTubers who do a kind of family son thing, and we got a really big following.
That's one of the things I was going to ask. Yeah. Honestly, is how nice is that the fact that you get to work with your son like this? You're waking up, and you can tell you obviously get on really well. Anyway,
you can tell.
But I met you. We were talking in our. We have got an office upstairs, guys, by the way, and we had like half an hour, didn't we?
Yeah.
Before we came down here, and we were just chatting gumph. It was. But you can just tell that you get on really well anyway.
You've got to because especially when we do some of the away days. I mean, one example: we went up to Scotland for 5 days. Well, 4 games in 4 days, you know.
Nice.
Thursday we're at Rangers in a European game, then we're up for the Dundee Derby, which was amazing, then we went to St Johnstone, and on the Sunday we went to Celtic. But you're living out of each other's pockets for 4 days.
Yeah.
And so you've got to get on, you've got to be mates, you've got to banter.
Yeah,
and
I think that's it. If you can be mates, you've smashed it. It's gold, isn't
it? Like with YouTube, so I'm sure the channel have massive longevity, but if in like say 10-15 years things do change and evolve, which they obviously will, we've got 2 11-year-old boys, haven't we? And like we've said, imagine doing the stuff that you two do together with our sons, travelling Europe and going, what a dream.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant.
Yeah.
Exactly. And for us, really, it's all about the away days. We love the travel.
Yeah. In some way, going to football, like just derby days around Europe, father and son, covering the content. Amazing. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
You know what? That's, I think as a footballer, like, don't get me wrong, I'll never ever change what I've done. I love my job is absolutely incredible. But I've never been able to do like an away day with my son. But now, because he's getting to the age of like 11, 12, like he's getting older, he's getting towards a teenager kind of thing. I know for a fact that in a couple of years' time when I'm retired, I'm going to be able to go to away days with my son, yeah. with Louis, with my daughter, Olivia, and we're going to do it properly. We'll go, you know what I mean? If it's really far away, we'll stay in a hotel or something. Because I think yeah. my team will always be West Brom. So yeah. we like obviously, I was at West Brom for 7-8 years, and yeah. they will always be our team. The kids grew up to be West Brom fans, and I'd love to be able to do that, is go away, do it, and like when he's 18, get a few beers down him, all that kind of
but
stuff.
That's the dynamic, isn't it? You've played in these big games over the years, and like me and Ben, we've got some like mates that we've been friends with since we were like really young. And Ben's got, you know, a big family. And those big games, we've all experienced as fans. And, like, we've been on a coach to Wrexham when they won the cup final, Blues when they won the cup final. And, like, so we've had these days out as
Watford
fans.
Watford Leeds promotion.
And we're, like, yeah. you know, on the beers, having a brilliant day out. And he's not... Obviously, he's playing, but he's not been able to do that. So it would be quite cool, won't it?
Yeah,
like that we get cool. to take the lads, and even as we come out of COVID, like next season, I'll be able to take our boys and Liv if she wants to come, and like even like before the game, like come and see you behind the goal, and it just it's great when they get to that age, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, we've had some amazing England away days, you know, Czech Republic, Bulgaria, and the Russia World Cup, which was we went out there for a month. And it was really trains, planes and automobiles. I mean, it was staying in Airbnbs. It wasn't just all posh hotels, but every minute of that was just
that's half the joy though, isn't it? Getting to do that, doing yeah. it properly as well. Like, so you don't need it all singing or dancing. You want to experience that side of it as well. That adds yeah. to the beauty of it all, doesn't it?
I mean, in Russia, we just stayed wherever we could stay. I mean, it was so busy for the World Cup because that was the last big tournament where yeah. the fans were actually there until all the restrictions, COVID hit, right? So it was incredible experience. You know, England fans were told not to go.
Yeah, I remember, because of the trouble. Everyone was anticipating there's going to be so much trouble, and it went off without a hitch, yeah. didn't it? It was absolutely incredible. They put on an amazing tournament.
They put on a great show for us, and we were there to document it, and it was so nice to show people back in England that actually, this country, they're welcoming us with open arms. We got to the semi-final. We went on a run. We got to saw loads of different cities across Russia.
Belton.
Tried local cuisine, everything. We just loved it.
I love it, lads.
So, Theo, yeah. then, so with the away days then, what, and you say about, you know, derbies and stuff, what's the big kind of, if you haven't ticked it off already, what's your big one you want to go to?
I want to do Boca Juniors River Plate.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
I've never done that. I'd love to do that. It just seems so, like, it's all about the fans. Yeah. You know what I mean? All about the fans.
Yeah, it looks like they, you know, like in this country, you get some people who are just reserved, aren't you? And they're not going to go crazy. And when the goal goes in, they might just sort of go, yeah, I'll go buzzing. Yeah. They look like they are on it 24/7. Like they yeah. cannot control their emotions, but every single one of them as well. And when you get a lot of people together like that, it just feeds into it. And it would be batshit crazy, but I agree. Absolutely. I'm with you. That would be, for me, one of the ones that I would want to go and experience just for, oh, it would be amazing.
We'll go together. We'll sort out. There when we can all go.
I think we do
we'll
a match day, away day, match day vlog for the Boca Juniors
Argentina
derby.
Away.
I'll tell you what, there's another one with loads of, first of all, Zamalek against Al Ahly in Egypt. Yeah, I know that sounds mad, but these are the like two of the most massive teams in Egypt. And that derby's meant to be mad. Absolutely mad. But then closer to home, the Old Firm derby. We've not been to that yet.
Yeah. That's top. It's one of the top three or four in the world. It has to be, doesn't it?
I've got to say, I played in a Celtic Man U game once up at Celtic. So when I was at Man United, it was in the Champions League. We drew the game 1-1. I definitely should have saved the goal, but don't worry about the goal, right? But so it finished 1-1. But the atmosphere at Celtic Park. I have to say it's the best atmosphere I've ever played in my life.
Did it get in your head?
It got in my head like you would not believe, Theo.
Really?
Honestly, I was crapping myself all the way through the game. Like I think I was about 25 or 6 at the time, right?
Right, yeah.
It got in my head like you wouldn't believe. I remember the noise is like nothing I'd ever heard before. Honestly, nothing. Yeah. Like when they're attacking, their fans suck the ball into the goal. I'm not even joking. They suck the ball into the back of the goal. There's another goalie coach I know, Graham Stack, and he said because he used to play for like Kilmarnock, Hibs, all that sort of thing up there. And he used to say that when we used to play away at Celtic, he said, Ben, they would suck the ball in the back of the net. He said, obviously, he said if we were 1-0 up or 1-1 or whatever, and they wanted to score a goal, it would go in the back of the net because they would suck it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It is.
Fans make such a difference.
I mean, the story about us and Scottish football, we went to see Celtic against Zenit St. Petersburg in, was it the UEFA? Yeah, I think it was the UEFA Europa League. Yeah. And the reason being, Theo's half Russian and Zenit is our foreign team. So we did this 20-minute film about you know, Celtic Zenit. And all the Celtic fans were writing to us saying, you've got to come back. Got to come back and watch Celtic. And at first we were nervous. We'd been warned off Celtic and Rangers because of, you know, perceived problems or what have you. But we started going to Celtic games, and the reception we got, and we were in some right rough pubs beforehand.
Yeah.
Witnessed some, you know, some interesting songs, shall we say, you know, all about the Queen and other things, you know. But the reception we got was absolutely incredible. The friendliest people. Then, of course, the Rangers fans started writing to us and saying, what are you doing that side of town? You've got to come and see us. So then we started going to Rangers games.
Experience,
and then we started going to Hearts
side,
games,
yeah.
Hibs games. Yeah. And it just happened, didn't it, Theo?
Scottish football is great. I think a lot of people underestimate how good, especially like from a fan's perspective. And the fact that we opened that, like that niche of content, it was incredible. It was something different. Like we go into Bolton games, we've been doing like Europe, but giving Scotland a fan was great because now everyone's watching the Scotland-England vlogs and stuff because we went to that last week.
And I'll tell you what, like I've said to you, I haven't, because you've not been, but... like Edinburgh and Glasgow are two of the best cities in Europe, in my
opinion. For a night out as well,
Food, like, everything. Glasgow's that bit edgier, isn't it?
Yes.
But it's like incredible restaurants.
Yep.
Edinburgh, very different, but beautiful. Like, two brilliant, brilliant cities.
Glasgow's so real. Like, the people there are so real. They're all football mad.
Yeah.
Edinburgh's a bit nicer, but you still, yeah, I love Scotland. It's great.
And what we found, there was a vacuum of content. There were almost no Scottish YouTubers. There were a few very small scale. These two mad English lads come in and start vlogging about Celtic Rangers. And it was, people were just like, thank you. And the people up there are just amazing.
Yeah.
They love a drink. They love a laugh. They love the crack.
They just love life. And that's the whole point of it.
And, you know, we went, for example, to the Dundee Derby. It was one of the most enjoyable games of my life. Not for the 90 minutes of football, but for the pubs beforehand. Yeah. And the reception we got and the songs and the laugh. And it was just really, we showed that Scottish football a little bit of respect, gave it a little bit of time, and we've been paid back in spades. I mean,
this is the beauty of football, guys, isn't it? Like, this is what it does. Like, this is why people literally live their life for the weekend for football. And, like, sometimes as a football, you're in the bubble where you don't really see that because you don't get to experience yourself. But when you talk to people like you talk to the fans, you see how much it means to them. Like, you can understand it, can't you?
It is absolutely belting.
Yeah. 9 times out of 10... it's not for the football.
Yeah.
Like you said,
it's a social, it's an event, isn't it? No matter what it is.
It really is. To Barcelona or wherever, and you go and the weekend around it, and it's like, it's just brilliant, isn't it?
It is.
So true. So true.
Guys, tell me, sorry, quickly, what's the biggest thing you think that's helped you in YouTube so far? Is there one video? Is there one event? Is there something? Or do you just put it down to solid grinding?
Oh, it's difficult to put it down to one video because I feel like other YouTubers have had that more.
One thing, yeah.
One thing. But I would say for me, I mean, that Leicester City vlog where at Chelsea Spurs, when Leicester won the league. I remember filming that and it was like one of my earliest videos that just went big with views and stuff and YouTube pushed it. And that was like such an early stage of when people were going to games and filming about it. And it was just like limbs at Chelsea. Everyone was so happy that Leicester had won it because it stopped Spurs right there. When Eden Hazard scored the second, it was incredible around me and everyone was going mad. And one of my best mates, Chelsea, so he brought me along. That video went big and I was like, oh my God, like maybe I can do something from this. And then obviously we were going Bolton home and away from then on, but that's when I started to build like people from other club to watch my Bolton vlogs.
Yeah.
Because people keep up with Bolton now for us. And that's incredible.
Yes.
Because like I'll go to another game, make a vlog, but then they'll watch the channel and see my Bolton vlogs and feel like they're part of it from us. And I think that's one of the most special things.
Well, you like, I know what you're saying. You get that with Watford.
With Watford,
like, the amount of people, conversion of I'm now a Watford fan, you know, in the comments. They're now my second team.
I see that all the time.
It's incredible. Yeah. But like, I think it's fair to say you guys, you know, you're getting big time now. So like, you know, you're getting there, aren't you? So we were talking this morning, weren't we? And we said, right, biggest kind of name in your phone book now or in your DMs, you kind of at that
DMs
level.
Like go, just think
Arsene
about
Wenger
in your DMs
on WhatsApp.
You have not got Arsene Wenger.
I said Merry Christmas to him, he responded.
Shut your mouth, Theo.
What's
he? He's like UEFA, like sort of big dog now as well. Arsenal forever.
Yeah.
Arsene Wenger is in
Arsene
your phone
Wenger.
Book.
Arsene
and
Wenger.
You've WhatsApped him.
Yeah, he responded.
This is incredible.
I tell a different generation, same question. My answer will be Alistair Campbell.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Who, of course, was the spin doctor for Tony Blair. Yeah. And cynics would say he ran the country.
Yeah, basically.
With Tony Blair as a front. Alistair Campbell is a massive Burnley fan. He's a massive football fan. And he loves Thogden and Thogdad stuff. And his son, Callum, is a great lad. He supports Burnley, Scotland, and Olympic Marseille. And we just become mates. So that would be my answer.
You're a big dog,
and,
yeah.
And you're in this, you know.
He's online right now.
Guys, he is awesome. This so is incredible.
I messaged him saying Merry Christmas. He responded. And then I asked him about the Super League and he didn't respond.
So what is it kind of like when you're bored? It's like, what are you up to, Arsene?
He's read it though, at least. It doesn't matter. You don't mind getting left on read with Arsene.
Oh, yeah. I literally couldn't care. But it's just so funny how... how he actually responded to me. I think that's so nice. Like, he probably just doesn't even know who I am, but because it's on WhatsApp, he'll respond.
It's a nice message though, as well. Do you know what I mean? And he's replied with thank you very much kind of thing. It kind of leads me on to how we sort of got in contact to start with. Do you know what I mean? I remember, because like I say, I used to watch anyway, the watch along sort of thing, but I remember you sent me a DM on, I think it was Twitter or Instagram, one of them anyway, and it was, is it Messi or Ronaldo, basically, Ben? Mm-hmm. And I came back with Ronaldo straight away, because for me, Ronaldo is... I've seen him up close and personal and I know what he does for it. So it will always be Ronaldo. And then it went from there, because I remember getting that DM. So this is how it works, right? Yeah, honestly. Yeah. This is how it works, guys. I got the DM from you, obviously, Thogden, and I was buzzing so much that straight away I showed my son and I went, look who sent me a message, yeah? He was like... Is that actually, I was like, yeah, it's actually Thogden, right? So then we started having a little bit of a conversation, blah, blah.
Screenshotted it and sent it to me.
Screenshotting it, buzzing. I was like, look, Thogden, a lot of guy likes, so I'll buzz off you anyway. Because I know Louis loves you. I sent you a message, didn't I? I said, any chance you can like send a little WhatsApp message through, like a little video just saying hello, Louis, and all that. And then you sent that through, obviously, that's how we got the phone number. And that's how it goes. Like, I think... This YouTube world shows you that people watch you. I guarantee you there's hundreds of footballers out there, hundreds of celebrities that you probably wouldn't even dream of will know who you are and watch your stuff as well.
It's a funny old world.
It's mad, isn't it?
And it's funny because the question you ask, the answer that I'd give would be different depending on who's the audience. So if a 15-year-old says, oh, who's the biggest name you've met? I'd say Ollie Ball. Now, because Ollie Ball right now, hundreds of millions of views on TikTok. Yeah. But someone in their 30s doesn't know Ollie Ball
is. They're Bolton fans, aren't they?
Exactly.
Yeah. And, Ollie, the Jacob guy is. Ollie's Everton fan.
Everton fan. Yeah.
But they're both from Bolton.
Well, so, you've got a little WhatsApp.
Mate, they're so funny, them too, right? So
have you met them?
Yeah, so I haven't actually met them in person, but we've had a few little conversations and stuff like that, to the point where they set, because I've had them do a predictions thing on the channel, didn't I? I had them do a predictions thing. So I got their number, whatever, and... Unbeknownst to me, Jacob just set up a little group chat and he literally called it the Cycling GK group chat kind of thing, yeah? So every now and then, though, even now, like he did one the other week, they will just send like a voicemail and... Yeah. Like a voice message. And every voice message is virtually identical where, all right, Ben, how'd you do a Northern accent? What's the Bolton accent? What's the Northern one?
Yeah, bloody hell, how's they doing?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Hello, Ben. And then he'll leave it like...
which accent was that?
Oh, yeah, it's horrible, sorry. Yeah. But it'll be silent. He won't say anything for about 5 seconds and he'll go, I had this idea.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, yeah? Want to get you on a podcast. At Bolton Stadium. But he would just rattle off. He didn't care. They're absolutely bonkers, the pair of them. They're absolutely bonkers, but they're lovable. They're so kind of lovable and nice, aren't they?
Yeah.
And it's brilliant to see these lads coming through and having the courage, age 15 or 16, to do that. I think that's magnificent. And if in any way, you know, the likes of us have inspired them to have the confidence, I think that is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, they're top lads, to be fair. Right, are we gonna move on to the boxing? So you asked earlier about thumbnails, okay? Yeah, I make all my thumbnails. I hold my hands up. I love doing it.
Wow.
I get all sorts of grief about my thumbnails, yeah?
Yeah.
Only from
sometimes
Tom,
they change.
They do change, yeah. Let's not get into this, all right? He hates me for changing the thumbnails on my videos.
Is he going to back me up here that he's absolutely ruining the algorithm by changing the thumbnails every 5 seconds?
It would have been the case, but now it actually helps.
This is what I'm talking about.
It used to be the deal, and then they changed it like a month ago, 2 months ago,
and it helps pushing it. Exactly.
After like a few hours, yeah.
That's just made my life miserable.
Yeah, mate. I'm not even kidding. But don't overchange it. Like change it once or twice.
For sure. Don't take the mic. I do all the thumbnails. Right, I love it. I've gotten into it. There's an app called Canva. So it's a website, Canva. And I've just learned it like the back of my hand kind of thing. I love doing it. I love messing about with it. I've made some because we wanted to know. Like obviously you've spoke about the beef you've had before, sort of thing. So I've got don't mention any names or anything. I've got a few little like pictures that I'm going to stick on the thing behind me. Yeah. I've made these up last night, by the way. I toiled over. over these, brilliant, by the way. I absolutely toiled over them. So here's the first one.
Oh, that is incredible.
Here we go.
I don't mind being the ref. Look at this. What an edit, by the way. Was this you? Yeah.
That is brilliant.
Ben Foster made this.
Yeah, so this is one.
Talk us through the picture on the audio, then.
So here we go. Here we have got.
I've got to film some of this.
So on the screen behind me, guys, I have got a. It's basically the end of a boxing match or the start of a boxing match. I haven't got a clue. The referee's standing in the middle. He's holding the hands of the two boxers. On the left, we've got Thogdad. He's got a bit of an angry-looking face on there.
He does, yeah.
Thogdad looks a little bit annoyed, right? Yeah. It looks like he wants to cave somebody's face in. And the guy that he wants to cave in, it looks to me like that is Greg Paul.
Greg Paul.
As in Logan Paul's dad, Jake Paul's dad.
Yeah.
And then we've got the main man in the middle, Thogden, refereeing the bout. It's a bouter, isn't it? It's an absolute cracker.
Can we just start this off with this bit with... Your call out for him on Jack's podcast was the politest call out.
I know. I'm a polite guy. No, there's part of me, you know, I love sport and particularly I love playing footy, cricket, tennis. Why? I've never boxed. I boxed once, and I don't know if you know this story. So I was living out in Russia for about a decade, and a mate of mine, Tom, was like, "Oh, Stephen, you know," and he was a bit of a boxer. He's one of these lads who's always doing this, you know, but he was an amateur boxer. He's like, "Oh, I've got a great coach. You've got to come along and get some training." So I went along, this Russian. I didn't speak a word of English. I had an hour's session with him. I thought, right, I'm really into this. A couple of weeks later, I'm like, "Tom, can I go back for a second lesson?" He's like, "I'm afraid not. I'm afraid the coach has been done for murder. You won't be seeing him for about 15 years.
Oh, my gosh.
So I never had a second boxing lesson. But I think there's something about boxing that is very primeval. It's very macho, very male, isn't it?
For sure.
We've got to do another YouTube
event. And
there's
some great female boxers as well. So there's part of me always wanted to get into the ring and test myself, you know?
Yeah,
I might
for
last
sure.
a second. I'm not pretending I'd be great at it. Hmm. It's something I've never done. It's something I'd like to do. The trouble is, I think I'd never get permission to fight a Greg Paul because of my age.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I don't think it would ever happen.
But Mike Tyson fought someone and he's like
That's
much
Mike
older.
Yeah, they call it an exhibition, don't they? There's no winner.
Yeah. It's
no,
exactly. Yeah. You could do it with like no, yeah, exactly, no winner and stuff like that. You can always make it happen. But it's whether Greg Paul is going to respond to you. He used to respond to your messages, and now he's stopped.
No.
Ever since, you scared
him off me.
The funny thing is, I was talking to Jack, mate, about this, and he's telling his stories about Greg Paul, and basically saying, he's a knobhead. So it's actually more beef between Jack, mate, and Greg.
There is. There back is.
Those two should be fighting. But look, I would love it. That would be a great transatlantic fight, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course it
and
would.
And I'd do it for charity. I wouldn't make a penny from it. We'd do it for mental health charities, and it would happen. But I'd have to do 6 months of proper training because you don't want to go in there and
I think that would be the beauty of it, though. I'd sign up to something like that just for the fact that I would have 6 months of dedication of pushing yourself at something completely brand new to see how you get. And I don't like the sort of the ethics of it and the things, the permutations that could happen from it would worry me a little bit. And being a father like yourself, I wouldn't want my dad doing it, but it is what it is. I think if you take it as it is with a pinch of salt and have it as an exhibition, you're not going gung-ho, you're not flinging frigging haymakers all over the shop. I think it could work at some
would
point.
Would you ever get in a...
I don't know, to be honest with you.
It would be a bit of fun.
The only part of it that would really interest me is the training part of it. If you could dedicate 6 months or a year to a schedule where you know you are strictly sticking to this thing, I would love that, because I love that element of like sport in general. Basically,
it's basically pre-season.
It's like a really long pre-season, brutal pre-season. Yeah,
and of
for
course
sure.
we've all seen Fight Club, haven't we? You know, and anyone who's seen that film,
exactly.
Like,
Right. So let's move on. So anyway, if we can get this fight set up, by the way, let's make it work. I think it'll be an absolute belter. Thogdad versus Greg Paul on the next slide. Talk you through this one.
No way. That is brilliant. I was just on the phone to him. If I knew you knew Ellis, I would have posted over to you.
I don't know Ellis at all.
Oh, you know now.
But obviously, watching some of your videos, and I've seen some bits and bobs in the past kind of thing. So, guys, again, let me just explain for you that are listening with no pictures. We have got Thogden on the right. His arm is raised in the air like he has just won the fight.
That's what I like.
He looks like he hasn't even been touched, to be honest. It looks like it's been a doddle of a fight.
Yeah.
On the left-hand side, we've got Ellis Platten, the guy that does the kind of mystery boxer shirts, all that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool, to be fair.
Yeah,
he's a nice lad. Yeah.
You can tell he's a nice lad. It's really, really good. Ellis's face looks a little bit bemused. He's not happy that Thugmum, who is the referee, I couldn't find a picture of Thugmum, by the way, so I've just have to use the stock photo. But Thugmum has awarded the fight to her son, no impartiality whatsoever. She literally just went for her son as the winner, regardless of whether he actually won the fight or not. They're actually women. German fighters. I don't know if you can tell. That one's got sort of boobs on it.
That's my pecs after going to the gym 2 weeks. The pecs.
But yeah, so what do you think? What are you saying about this, Thogden? Do you think this could be something that you want to get involved on in the future? Because you're a good age for it, to be fair, aren't you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'd love to have a boxing fight. Ellis is a top lad, though. I would not fight Ellis. Yeah, he's too nice.
I know.
Once did a thumbnail at the hashtag game with my biggest enemy. And everyone was like, you got to box all of this. So it's funny how you made that edit. But no, I would happily have a boxing fight. So I think it'd be so cool.
You need to find somebody a very similar sort of height and weight. You have to be in their class. You have to be in their division. Yeah. So is there any names that spring to mind straight away? Who have you got beef with? There's no one you've got beef with. I'm not having it.
Robbie, he's too big for me, though.
Oh, my God. We're not dredging this up.
He's literally twice my size. I can't.
But
dad's age.
Even then, though, what are you thinking? You fancy yourself?
No chance. No. If I moved, I'd be all right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. But you still think Don Robbie from AFTV is going to do you in, yeah?
Probably. But will he have the fitness for 12 rounds?
Exactly, mate.
Big doggy.
Bob and weave for a couple rounds, you'll tire him out, and exactly. Boom, he's just going to have to tap out.
Yeah. Just got to be careful.
I fancy Thoggy on that, the old left-right good night.
Yeah, exactly.
In and out, mate. Bob and weave.
Yeah, exactly. Just keep your distance, yeah, you know?
So there we go, Don Robbie. You know Thogden's coming for you, mate. And I fancy him, mate. You know, there's many ways to skin a cat, and I think Theo's got it in him, all right?
I'm already thinking. I've got tactics already. Working a plan out. Brilliant.
Oh, I love it, lads. I'm buzzing with these.
We've got to touch on the trims.
Yeah.
Thogden, because I was expecting you to come in today with, like, some kind of bleach... Phil Foden haircut, something like that.
We nearly did it, and we've got this brilliant barber called Christian, the next barber experience out in Old Street. And the other day I went along there and I said I just fancied a Richarlison cut, so I sent Christian
as you do
a picture of Richarlison.
What made you pick a Richarlison?
I don't know, but that was very similar to a Foden cut pre-Gazza. Foden. And I didn't tell Thog Mum about this, but anyway, Christian did this haircut. I put it straight onto Instagram and it suddenly got to like 100,000 likes. I thought, what's going on here?
It was Richarlison, mate. It was absolutely for guys that are watching, we'll put a picture on screen now, but it is absolutely bouting.
So I've just gone through my life having accountants' haircuts because I was used to it. And suddenly I don't have to anymore. But anyway, I got back and Thog Mum saw it and she's like, you never do that again. Oh, never.
A proper telling off.
And I was tempted last week to get the Foden cut and the bleaching. I would have done it if it hadn't been for Thog Mum's reaction. Now, Theo here should get the Foden cut.
Without doubt.
Because he did a video. He says, if this gets 30,000 likes, then I'm getting the Foden cut. It got 31,000 likes.
It's got way more now.
You know what? I would have done it if Foden scored in the first game.
You've got to do it.
I know.
That's how it works, mate. That's how this world works.
I will still do it. It's coming home, so I'll still do it.
So when you're at Germany on Tuesday, England. It's now Thursday.
Yeah.
See what you've got 5 days to get the old. I'm gonna have to make it happen. Chucked you under the bus there, but
mate,
sorry.
It might have to happen. You know. Imagine I get it, though, and it's just about to go, you know, like, it doesn't go straight away, it doesn't go to the bleach colour. Imagine I get it, the game happens, but the bleach happens after the game, right? And we lose. So I get the trim, but England are out.
We don't talk about that.
But you've got a scenario plan.
You make a promise to yourself.
Timo Werner scores the winner, the whole of England saying Southgate out, and everyone's fuming. All of a sudden,
there was once we were.
And I've got Foden trim, like I'm looking like Gazza 96. We just knocked down the round of 16. I look like a mug.
Last year, we were doing a live stream down in Montenegro. We have a holiday house there. And Leon, who were they playing? Was it Man City?
Man City. Yeah.
Leon, Man City. And Theo, pre live stream, is like, if Leon win this game, I'm getting the Leon badge tattooed on my arse cheeks. Leon win.
They went and won. I remember.
No tattoo. Yeah. I mean, there's a pattern here, lads.
I didn't have you down as a shirker.
No, a shirker twice.
You've got to follow it through, mate. Do you know what? I think Fog Mum's going to shout at you if you do that, because he's got lovely hair, hasn't he?
Lovely wavy hair
you've got, mate.
He's very precious about his hair.
Thog Mum is the first person to go, like, I don't even get to decide most things. Like, Thog Mum runs my life, literally. I might be 20 years old, but she's still...
They always do, mate. That's mums for you. That's what their job is.
Especially when you live with them.
Russian mum thing, honestly. They're so protective of their kids.
If I got the phone trim, I don't think she'd ever look at me the same. And no one can see Thogman. It's just behind the scenes.
Yeah. So, right, guys. So, let me just finally touch on Bolton, okay? So, Bolton FC, I remember playing against Bolton back in the day, right? So, one thing springs to mind particularly. We were playing at home. I was at West Brom at the time. And it was when you had the likes of Kevin Davies, you had Kevin Nolan. It was when Anelka, was playing as well. I think if you look back in history, like some of the players that Bolton had back in the day, by the way.
Fernando Hierro.
Yeah. Jussi Jaskalainen, what a goalie.
Yuri
Djorkaeff.
Ivan Campo.
Stelios Giannakopoulos.
Oh my God, there you go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like littered with history, littered with names, okay? But I remember this one particular game. We were playing at home. It was West Brom Bolton. They get a corner, Bolton. Kevin Nolan stands on me. He was honestly the best I've ever seen at man marking a goalkeeper on a corner. It was outrageous, right? He would never get fouled. He would never get a foul like against a goalie. He was world class at it. He stood there, he put his arms out, and he was like, no, I'm standing there. That's it, it's fine. And he stopped me moving. It was incredible, right? The corner came in. I tried to get a punch, got a horrible little punch on it, dropped down. I think it was actually Anelka who tapped the ball in. That for me was just disgusting, and I think it's a massive skill that has gone out of the game, having that big tank of a striker like Kevin Davies, like Kevin Nolan, them guys, you know what I mean, that would be up there and they would do a serious job for you, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. Was it Davies who was next to you?
Nolan. Kevin Nolan, really? Oh, he was horrible though, he was a tank,
good player,
really good
Nolan
player.
He was unbelievable for us. That was a great little mix up.
I mean, those years, that decade we spent at the top level, I mean, and two of the years we went to Europe, of course. It was a combination, and you've hit the nail on the head, of really hard, mostly, you know, English players like Nolan Davies, but also you had like Gudni Bergson at the back. You had Jussi in goal.
Miksu Patalainen, was he a Bolton player?
Yes, he was. That was a little bit before, but you had these incredible players like Anelka that you'd never thought you'd see on the Bolton
in
pitch.
In a Bolton shirt.
And Hierro and Ivan Campo was...
But we even had like loanees from like Sturridge and Wiltshire for a season.
My view...
I played against Sturridge as well for when he was at Bolton. That was when he was just about to kick off, wasn't he? He was about to go big time. I think that was the season that was his springboard, basically, to start making a name for himself.
Yeah. That it was. We had Jack Wiltshire for a while, and for me, you know, I've been watching Bolton for 46 years, you know, man and boy, so that 10 years was just like, I'm just going to enjoy this. And the trip when we went to Madrid, I didn't tell Thogmam that we went to Madrid that week for football. We had a lovely week in Madrid, but you know, to be watching Atletico Madrid against Bolton Wanderers, you know, when I first started watching Bolton Wanderers in 1975, Sam Allardyce, big centre half, you know.
Different,
you know, the likes of him, Peter Reid was playing. No, he was a good player.
Well, blooming hell, bloody right he was, yeah.
Most of the time, Bolton have just been an average, probably second tier club. But just for that brief period, it was just spectacular. Yeah,
good 10 years, to be fair. Good decade, weren't it?
Yeah. Bolton, great manager, Sam Allardyce as well, yeah.
Yeah, good bloke. I've met him a couple of times, really good bloke.
He's someone I'd love to have on the night out. If I could change
that's
it.
That's a great show, actually. Yeah. Can we edit that in? Let's edit that in, Frank. Let's get Big Sam on the night out.
Big Sam has to be on there.
So when you're talking about like managers and stuff, I always think he was an old manager of yours and stuff. And if like going out on the town, he's always a bit smooth or seemed that way. Alan Pardew.
He is.
I can imagine
birds and
I can imagine he's all over the guy.
You seen that picture, the one where he's got like four or five birds around him and he's on a night out and he's giving it a proper like pose into the camera and stuff like that. Yeah, that's
he loves it, doesn't he?
He loves it, mate.
Was he your gaffer
He was only there for a little bit, but he was like the manager when we went to Barcelona and, you know, we had the taxi gate and all that kind of stuff. I think I'm gonna have to bring that up on another podcast sometime somewhere because it is a Belton story. He was a different kind of manager. He was a different manager to what I'm used to. Manager.
So just going back onto the channel, like with obviously the live streams now, me and Ben have been talking about this. We've started, you know, the watch alongs and everything else. And there's a really interesting conversation around mainstream media and how the shift and how the change and how it's evolving. Like, and we said this morning, didn't we? Me, you and Frank were chatting about today. And we said, how long will it be before a game is streamed live on YouTube, as they are, with an option of Thogden Watch Along, Cycling GK Watch Along, as the commentary? Do you think we're far from something like that?
Oh, can you imagine that?
It's hard to know, isn't it? I mean, we're all sort of pioneers of this game. And part of the reason why Thogden works, or the cycling goalkeeper works, is because you're the first to do it. You know, you're one of the first sort of footballers to actually do this. So I know it's not quite answering your question, but imagine if there were 20 Ben Fosters doing this, it wouldn't quite be the same.
It's not the same.
Yeah. And if there were 20, but my point being that this whole thing is going to change so much over the next few decades. It's going to change beyond all recognition.
Yeah.
So it's almost guesswork to ask what's it going to be like in 5 years.
Yeah. And like with yourself, Theo, obviously you do what you do really, really well. But it was interesting to see you pop up on Saturday Social on Sky a couple of months ago.
No, I love that. That's what it's all about. Yeah, I'd love to do more stuff like that, especially because it's really professional and you've got to be there and, you know, they rehearse everything and it's great. But just to see yourself on Sky, you know, I remember starting as a kid with like 5 subscribers. It's just my mate. The fact it's got to a point where I can literally turn on the telly and see myself for a bit. It's just like unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So
how's that come?
You'd be up for doing a bit more of that?
Yeah, I'd go down that route. I mean, we all don't know how YouTube's going to be in 10, 20 years. I'm very confident that's going to be still the biggest platform, but if I was to adapt into something else, I'd happily be a football presenter and some, you know.
I think you'd be good at that, Theo. I do. Honestly, I think you'd be really, really good at that. I think half the battle is having the people skills, the personality, the personability to be able to get it across, and you've got that, honestly, mate. For a 20-year-old, well done, mate. Well
I appreciate
done. Good
that.
Job, Dad. You've done a good job there,
thank
mate.
You.
Yeah. Honestly, absolutely cracking.
Appreciate that. No, nice to hear. Yeah.
Right, one of the questions we love to ask as well is, we're getting to the end of the pod now, guys. What is the biggest mistake you've made in YouTube? It could be production, it could be film, it could be whatever it is.
I like that question.
The biggest mistake you've made.
Biggest mistake.
Because I'll give you a little bit of background why I asked the question. So we filmed a video a couple of weeks ago. Tom, normally what happens is Tom will send the footage over to the editor, Frank, and he will upload it. He'll send it on WeTransfer, as most people do, and then he will upload the footage. We had 3 files to send, sent the 3. He got the email said that they've been sent. Then you downloaded them. One of the files didn't actually send properly, though.
I deleted the files, basically.
He basically deleted the files before the editor
had
a chance to actually see it.
Before.
So the camera was literally one in the corner. It looked a bit weird. The video still went out. It wasn't the end of the world. But it just got us thinking, that might be a really good question to ask people, because guaranteed, like, you've lost videos, or this was supposed to happen, that's supposed to happen, but
we've
it didn't
once.
Quite materialise.
We went on... This was, like, when I was very small, but we went to Hong Kong. And my dad was like, go out there, like, do some travel vlogging, because I was down the football route at the time, FIFA football, all that stuff. You were like, you should do more travel vlog stuff, and I kind of understood the football world, but I didn't understand the travel vlog world. But I remember I literally lost all the files to that trip on my SD card. It was all I had the problem where you put it into the laptop and it didn't sync or whatever, and I lost all the content from that trip.
Yeah.
So that was one of the biggest stinkers that have happened.
Oh,
but
there is a bigger stinker. I'll go into it, and I have to be careful here. So about 4 years. So early on, Theo trusted someone to.
Oh yeah.
To
I don't
help
know how
him,
I didn't remember this.
To help him with editing and the management of the channel. It was an informal agreement.
Yeah.
With a schoolmate, and it went well until one day, the guys fell out, probably over next to nothing.
Yeah.
And this guy who was, you know, kind of the IT whiz decided, well, we've fallen out. I'm in a bad mood. Deleted the whole channel.
No.
Yeah.
Deleted the whole channel. Now, this story got...
Thogden. Deleted Thogden.
The whole channel. And, of course, Theo was in pieces. This became a national story. It was in, like, News of the World and...
I think I was on, like...
The Sun and The Mirror and, yeah.
At the time, I was on, like, 25,000 subs, though. So it wasn't, like, huge,
no,
but I was starting to grow.
Growing, though,
yeah. Starting to
but
grow.
But his dream, with the press of a button by some annoyed kid, the channel was deleted. And it took, actually, Theo had to speak to some really big YouTubers to get the channel
Casper Lee,
back.
I don't know if you know him. Different world.
So
yeah, he's just one of the
I suppose
old,
the mistake was trusting the
yeah,
wrong
to dig
person.
Into the archives and try and get it back, basically.
Yeah, I will
and
say that was my biggest mistake, trusting him. Like, as part of the channel, because you never know where you're going to be when you come to the end of the channel, right? So if you have an agreement with him, you never know when you get 600,000 subs, he'll try and claim something from you, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so you've got to be so careful whatever you agree at the start. Luckily, that is all resolved now, and we got the channel back because YouTube, you know, they helped push everything up, got the subscribers back somehow, don't know how it works, but they found a way. So luckily, it's all worked out. But that would definitely be my biggest mistake. Like, I was young and I didn't trust the right people.
I think there's a big old message there that for any guys trying to get into YouTube, getting started, you do not need a million people, do you?
No, you don't.
Do not.
No,
like,
no.
We're a small team. I don't know about you guys, but it's literally me, Tom, and Frank, the editor.
I thought there'd be more people behind
no,
me. When
no
I saw
chance whatsoever. We keep it completely in-house. I've grew up with Tom. He's one of my best friends. I've known him literally my whole life. Frank's come on board since day one, and he's been there for everything. He knows the back of everything. My wife helps out with bits and bobs, doesn't she? She'll do loads of
it's
this
the best
and
way
that.
To do it. Because the way YouTube started was you put a camera in your bedroom and you talk about something.
Exactly.
That was always the way that they push that sort of content. They don't want all this corporate loads of glamour. You know, like, you're not walking around the training ground with a cameraman behind you the whole
for
time.
For sure. It loses that sort of that personality, that personability as well. You know,
I think the key word is authenticity.
Yeah, exactly.
We've realised
people
have got to be authentic. So, you know, what you see, the Thogdad you see is real. The Thogden you see is real. In fact, the other day we do these sort of the live streams with Thog Mum's pictures behind us and Thog Bear and all of that. It is purposefully amateur. Now, we changed it at one point, green screen, you know, a brick background. It was all professional. Everyone's like, we don't like that.
Yeah.
Let's go back to how
people
it was
prefer
before.
Us, yeah.
People wanted it.
Can I just say, Tom, that if the worst happens, even if I take your wife off you or something, please never delete my channel, yeah?
Yeah.
Please never, ever delete my channel. There's a million things you could do to me before that. Just don't delete my YouTube channel, okay?
Right.
Right, guys, thank you very much. That is it for today's Fozcast from the special guest in studio today, Thogden, absolute legend.
How are we doing?
Thogdad, superstar as absolute usual.
Thank you, Ben.
And honestly, I do think you need to look into doing these like bedtime stories kind of thing, because I can listen to his voice all day long, guys. What
this
a
guy, he's got so many stories.
He's beautiful.
I don't even hear this stuff.
Honestly, it's beautiful. What a lovely voice. What an absolute superstar. Tom, as usual. Yeah. Nailed it. Did that weird thing again.
Always.
I'll see you all soon. Ben Foster, the Fozcast.